Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we today, as I shared with the young people, and I think the teenagers would definitely be helpful to really intently listen today, what is God's will at this point in my life? For my life. What is God's will? I think we adults understand this concept better because we see we're getting older. We see that life is a vapor, as the Bible says. We see that life is we could easily be right at the end of our life. It could happen today, and we see the future a little bit better. Well, young people just see way down the road. They're thinking, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. But we adults, we see a few days from now or a few hours from now. So we understand God's will. What do we need to do now? Not later on. What do we need to do now? I think it's more difficult for a young person to see that God's will is not necessarily down the road. It's now. It's what does God want us to do at this point? And as we're going down the road, God's will is being done. We do that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few of verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God's word says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. What is God's will? God's will, either it's opposite oftentimes of our will. Writing over 100 years ago, Professor James Denny of Scotland said these verses are the standing orders of the gospel. In other words, is what we're to do to show that we've been changed by the gospel. They're how we're to live this life because Christ has changed us. He's saying over 100 years ago, this is how we're to live. Obviously, it's not easy to live this way. If it was, everybody that goes to church would be doing it. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Spirit indwelling in us to be able to live this way. But as we become more and more filled with the Spirit and live the way God wants you and I to live, we can live this way. Not perfectly, because we're not perfect, but we can live this way. God wouldn't put it here for you and I for just some little token to put on a cup or on the wall. He put it for you and I to live this way so that we would make someone else say, "Well, how can you do that? How can you show love? How can you show forgiveness? How can you show kindness and generosity with all that's going on in this world?" This verse in the Greek is very clear that we should continually rejoice. We should continually pray, and we should continually give thanks. But it's a challenge for you and I, for all of us, because we're human. After all, we would have no problem if this verse said, "Rejoice sometimes, pray occasionally, and give thanks when you feel like it." This verse suggests that our Christianity is truly expressed or discovered when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to pray, when we don't want to be thankful. That's when we really show people that we've been changed by Jesus, when we don't feel like it. That's when you really show whether you really love the Lord or not, or know the Lord, when you don't feel like it and you do it anyway. You're doing what God wants you to do. You're doing God's will anyway. Not your will, but God's will. It'd be Be quiet, guys. God's will. This verse, again, suggests that. People who practice this verse reveal the true life-changing power of the Lord Jesus. When Christ enters a life, he changes it from the inside out so that we have both the power and the desire to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks, even in our worst moments. So let's look at a few of these standing orders of the gospel here. Let me give you number one. It says there, it says right there, the first part of the verse. Rejoice always, be joyful always. Another translation said, no, it says, be cheerful no matter what. Another one says, be full of joy all the time. Another translation says, be happy in your faith all the time. There's a great hymn that we've sang that you love and I love too. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. The joyful sound. Whenever the gospel is preached, whenever you live the way God wants you to live, folks, it is a joyful sound. Let me encourage you to turn the TV off more, because if you watch the TV too much, the devil is all in the details. He's trying to make chaos. He's trying to make hatred and stir things all the time. Don't let that enter in your mind. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure and holy, think on these things. Don't just watch all the stuff on TV. Those people are not Christians. They don't believe like you and I believe. They believe that we came from some primordial slime pit billions of years ago. They don't believe like we believe. And if they would believe that, there's no telling what they'll believe, is it? So don't listen to the TV. You listen to God. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the critics. They're always trying to divide us. They don't never want you to rejoice. They want you to always fight and kick and scream while you're down here on this earth. But you will not have a good life if you don't follow God's holy will. And God's will is, that's what we just read. That's what it says at the end of this verse. This is God's will. This is what God wants of you. Rejoice always. Not rejoice because I lost a child. Not rejoice because I lost a parent. Rejoice in the Lord. We find something. We find somewhere in all of it to just rejoice in the Lord. We don't say, God, thank you that these bad things happened to me. We thank God in those bad things. Rejoice always. The first proof that the gospel has changed you and I is what people see in us. John chapter 15. Look at this verse. Jesus said this, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy, that his joy, may be in you. Let me ask you, was his joy in you last week when you were watching TV or Facebook or whatever, or you were just allowing your circumstances to overwhelm you? Was his joy in you? It can be, it should be, it must be for you and I to be the man, the woman, the boy, girl God wants us to be. That his joy is in you. And it don't come automatically. You've got to want it. It ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody would have it. But you can have it. If you and I want it, we seek God's desire. We seek his will for our life. Things don't go our way. You know, oftentimes in life, we pitch a fit. Y'all ever pitch a fit? Y'all don't ever pitch a fit, do you? Some Christians seem to think that it's their duty to pitch fits, don't they? They try to fix everything. They want to fix the waiter at the restaurant. They want to fix the car mechanic. I don't like those things to happen either. But God did not put you on this earth to fix everybody. You know what? God didn't even put you on this earth to fix your spouse. If you still have one. He didn't put you here for that. He didn't put your spouse on earth to fix you. Those people that try to do that, or you, if they're Christians, I would say, and I almost put a picture up there, but I couldn't find one, of a dill pickle Christian. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you that don't like dill pickles, that's what some, I have family that likes dill pickles. So you may like them, but dill pickle Christians, some that just always gloomy. I know life isn't fair. I know life is hard. I know on this side of the world, on this side of life, things are not fair. That's the way it is. But I would say whether it's a small amount and you do just a little bit to rejoice, or whether it's a large amount, whether your circumstances are just some that you just can't imagine, a little bit or a lot, we are to rejoice somehow, somewhere, all the time. That's what it says, rejoice always. Let me give you the second part of God's will for you and I. If we want to live this life the way till we breathe our last breath, until we die, and it could be today, pray continually. That's what it says. One translation says, never stop praying. Another one says, pray all the time. You can pray with your eyes open while you're riding down the road or while you're at school. You can pray at work, wherever you are. You don't have to bow your head. You can watch and pray, the Bible says. So you pray continually. God, help me. God, help hold my tongue back. God, help hold my thoughts back, that I don't think something that I shouldn't think. I shouldn't think in a bad way. I shouldn't do anything. Help me to pray continually. Let me say that if you don't pray, you will never rejoice. If you don't pray, you'll never rejoice. Praying helps you and I rejoice. It helps us. And I'll say that baby doesn't bother me. I just like to hear babies. Amen? Praying helps you and I rejoice. This standing order causes us, I would say this is causes us the most problems. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? A speaker once compared praying without ceasing to a net. I've thrown a net before trying to catch fish that sort of, I'm not good at it, but you throw a net and it sort of opens up and you try to catch minnows or whatever. One speaker compared praying without ceasing to throwing a net. He says, when a net functions properly, it lets water flow through the net, catching the fish. But if there's a hole in the net, the fish go free. The fish get out. It's the same way when you and I pray. There are to be no holes in our net, in our prayer net. It means you and I stay regularly, continually in communion, in fellowship, in as deep as we can, in love with the Lord Jesus. There's nothing you and I face. Nothing our church faces. Nothing whatsoever under the sun that cannot be improved with our prayers. Nothing can't be improved with our prayers. We are to pray continuously. This is why some Christians are so frustrated and irritable, because they're not praying enough. Or they're praying for the wrong things. We can pray for the wrong things. We can say, God, fix this, when God doesn't want to fix it. He wants you to endure it so He can teach you some things. He wants me to go through it so that I can lean on Him more, so I can trust Him more. Pray continually. Here's what our prayer should be. Here's what our prayer should be. Lord, give me a heart for prayer, so that when I'm dead, when I'm gone, people will remember that I was a man or a woman who prayed. A man or woman of prayer. Lord, give me a heart like that. That's all you have to ask. You say, I don't read my Bible very much. Ask God to help you. Ask Him to give you a desire. You say, well, I don't pray enough. I don't pray much. Ask Him to give you desire. You say, I don't witness when somebody's crying. They're talking to me about killing themselves or whatever. I don't tell them about Jesus, and I should. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you a heart to share more, whatever you have a need. Ask God to help you. That's what God wants you and I to do, to pray continually. Let me give you the third truth. Be thankful in every circumstance. Now, this is a hard one. Some of you have lost children. Most of you have lost parents. Some of you have lost brothers and sisters and people that are real close to you, maybe a spouse. This is very difficult, but it's in the Bible. It's God's will. How do we do it? We can't do it on our own, can we? There's no possible way for you and I to rejoice always, to pray continually and be thankful in every circumstance, unless we've been changed by the gospel. There's no way. That's why most people can't do it. That's why most people, even people that come to church, they're not changed. They live like heathens and they act like heathens. We're not perfect either, so don't let me try to paint a picture that we've got it figured out. No. But we try to respect people. We try to treat people. We try to forgive. When we mess up, we ask for forgiveness. We try to do what's right by God's word. But there are some people, they always want to stir up strife. They always want to divide and dissension. They want to fuss and fight over every little thing in this life. When it doesn't really matter anyway, because when we're laying in that casket, whether we got our meal on time, whether the DMV got our tax plates right, or the mechanic fixed our car properly, or whatever, all that ain't gonna matter. As Brother Chris, we sang just a minute ago, gold and silver. We can accumulate all of it. Look at the movie stars. Look at Hollywood. They have all of this money, all of this glamour and fame. And many of them kill themselves later on in life because they just unfulfilled. They're not following God's word. They're not rejoicing. They're not praying. They're not thankful because they don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, dear friend, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for a miserable life. You're flirting with disaster. Your eternity is at stake. Again, if this is 100 years from my thumb to my index finger, 100 years, can you imagine how long eternity is? And the Bible says we're going to live either in heaven or hell for eternity. It doesn't stop right here. It goes on around the earth, goes on around the world forever and ever and ever. And so don't get caught up in this world. Don't get caught up on what they're saying on television and what they're saying here and there. Don't let that drive your life. Don't let that drive your conversation. Don't let that drive your spirit. Be thankful. If you would just think about your grandmother. Some of you are grandmothers. But just think about your sweet, gentle, enduring grandmother. She doesn't get worried, probably. She don't get upset over stuff that you get upset over. She don't fret over stuff that you fret and act just bent out of shape over. She doesn't. Why? Maybe because she's more thankful. God, I just thank you that I'm still alive. God, my health is failing. My vision's failing. My children are going to pot or whatever, going crazy. But even in all of that, she's still thankful. She's still just gentle-spirited. she's kind, or maybe he is your granddad, someone that you just look up to. Be thankful in every circumstance. One translation says, be thankful whatever the circumstances may be. Another one says, be thankful in all circumstances. Another one says, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus. So in the hard moments of life, things must not change. We must express our thankfulness to God. If we only give thanks when we're happy, we're not practicing what God says. We might as well tear the page out of the Bible. If we don't give thanks all the time, as much as we can, humanly possible, we're all different. Some are going to thank God more probably, but as best as we can, if we don't do it, we might as well rip that page out of the Bible and say, we're not going to follow that. We're to give thanks. Let me give you a few truths why we're to give thanks. Because God is sovereign, which means He's in control, and nothing happens by chance. We're to give thanks because God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. Romans 8:28. We're to give thanks because hardness, hard times, reveal our weaknesses. And it shows us that we need God. Hard times show us that. Christians need to give thanks because He's triumphed over sin and death through the cross. We need to give thanks because the worst that happens will promote your spiritual growth. It can make you stronger. It can make you better. You can help someone else. We're to give thanks because when we are weak, He is strong. His grace is sufficient for every situation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our salvation rests on God alone and not on us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin, the Bible says. The Lord can soften the hardest heart. Nothing is impossible with God. The Holy Spirit abides with us, and Jesus feels your pain. The Holy Spirit prays for us. When you and I don't even know how to pray or what to pray for, God uses everything and He wastes nothing. Someday, we will be conformed completely and perfectly. Not now, not in this world. Someday, into the image of Christ. And you know what our hardships help you minister to others? Sometimes you endure things so you can help somebody else. Ladies, those of you that have lost a spouse, I guarantee you, one day your children's going to lose a spouse, and you can be right beside them and say, I don't know exactly how it feels, but I can tell you how it feels from my perspective. Those of you that have lost a job, you can sit right beside somebody or went through a divorce or whatever you've gone through. You can help somebody else. Even though it was H-E-L-L when you were going through it, God can use that to help others. You see, the world wants you and I to just always be stirred up and upset and all frustrated. But that's not the way Jesus wants you to live. If you want to live the way God wants you to live, you're to be thankful. We're to rejoice always. We're to pray without ceasing. And we're to in everything give thanks. That's it. A child can understand that. See, you guys can understand that. Is that simple? Now, is it easy to do? No. Tomorrow, you're going to get mad? Probably. Am I going to get mad over something? Probably. I shouldn't. That's why we need Jesus. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need to every morning say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Help me to be a shining light because there is so much darkness around me. Not that I'm somebody special because you saved me, but use me, Lord, to reach my friend who is headed down a devil's road, headed down the wrong road. I'm telling you, folks, most of the people in this world are headed to hell. The Bible says that. The Bible says very few people are on the road to salvation, on the narrow way. Most people are on the broad way, on the road to hell. All you have to do, if you're on that road, if you're going down the wrong road, if you've never truly repented and cried out to God, save me, Lord, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to die and bust hell wide open. If that's you, it's a child can do it. That's what the Bible says, childlike faith. Right where you sit, all you have to say is just, God, save me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for all my sin. I trust Jesus. I believe what your word says, your Bible. That's it. That's simple. And then God sends the Holy Spirit to enter into your life to help you. Will your life be perfect? Will you still have problems? Will you still have death? Will you still have anxiety? Will you still have to go to the funeral home, the hospital, and all those things? Absolutely. But you'll have the Savior of the world. You'll have the one who created everything in 6 days, who made everything and knows the stars by name. He has them numbered. You'll have Him to help you till you die. And we need Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, forgive us for complaining. Lord, forgive us when we should be rejoicing. And Lord, teach us to pray continually, giving us thankful hearts, finding something to be thankful for in all of the mess in our life. Help us to be like that grandmother, that great-grandmother or grandfather who just seems to be able to handle anything because they love Jesus, because they trust Jesus day after day after day. Lord, if there's somebody that needs it right now under the sound of my voice to say, save me, I pray that they would ask you to save them right where they sit, Lord. They don't know what that means. They don't know what it's going to look like. It's okay. May they surrender right now and just say, save me, that they trust you and your Son, and they trust your word to be true. Father, save them right now, I ask, if there is one or two or more. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.